Okay, amigos, here we are once again with another great interview. And this time it is the Dallas area's Conjunto Baraja de Oro. And this is part one of their interview. And we hope you learn about this hot, hot duo out of Midlothian, Texas. And they're a couple, and they are in the tradition of great bands like Dueto Frontera, Georgie Maggie, Dueto Carta Blanca, and of course the New Variety Band, among others. And they're doing a great job keeping that tradition of the duo in a band. They are a couple, you know. And they've been burning up the Dallas area as well as every place else. Let's see, they're about to come and rock Austin at Friday, February 1st at the second annual Rancho Alegre Conjunto Festival, and they will be headlining, actually. We really believe in this band, that they are really going to blow up in a big way. And this is their first time playing in Austin, the live music capital of the world. And so we hope you enjoy the interview and the music of Conjunto Baraja de Oro. And thank you for listening, Rancho Alegre Radio. And we'll be seeing you this weekend at the Rancho Alegre Conjunto Festival at the Moose Lodge in Austin, Texas. For more information, please go to RanchoAlegreTexas.com. Amigos, here we are once again. This time we are in Midlothian, Texas. We are here with Conjunto Baraja de Oro. This is a grassroots conjunto. Their videos are all over YouTube. They have CDs all over the place. You need to check these guys out. And we're here to learn about them, learn about their careers and how they started. Y todo el guato. And Mario and Betty, thank you for allowing us in your beautiful home.
No, you guys are welcome. Thank you for coming out.
No problem. Our pleasure. And let's go ahead and start, you know, with some basic questions. Where are you guys from?
Well, originally I'm born and raised in Waxahachie, Texas, which is about like 7-8 minutes from here.
Oh yeah, okay.
And we kind of just live out of Waxahachie, and we live here in Midlothian, and we've been here 10 years, going on 10 years now, and pretty much, you know, south of Dallas. For all you who don't know where it is, I know plenty of you been through Waxahachie and don't know it, but it's south of Dallas, about 20 minutes south of Dallas.
Right, and Betty?
Well, born and raised. Well, I was born in Quanah, Texas, but raised in the Dallas. I've been everywhere. I can't lie. I've been everywhere. My dad was
military.
No, farmer.
Oh.
So where the crops were, where the work was, where he was at. But, I've been in Waxahachie for about over 20 years.
Oh, okay.
20 years.
And you don't have to say the year or nothing, but when were y'all guys born?
I was born in the last decade.
Okay.
No.
December 17th.
December 17th.
October 19th.
Okay.
Whatever.
Cool.
Not
cool.
The year.
Right. And one question, of course, that I'm sure a lot of people ask you guys. Y'all married?
Yes,
we are.
And how long y'all been married?
We've been married, fixing to be 15 years.
Is that right?
Yes.
Felicidades. That's great, man.
Oh, yeah.
And kids?
Yes. We have 3 beautiful kids.
Yeah. Awesome.
And, I mean,
we have musicians in the making there.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool. And feel free, since there's both of you, you know, two of you against one here, jump in, whoever wants the question or whoever wants to answer first. But any family musician? How did y'all get into this? Was there a tío or a dad that played?
Well, my dad was a musician, and he's been a musician all his life. And he used to play... And he still does till now. He used to have his own Norteño band back in the day.
Oh, okay.
And so, I mean, I'm kind of vaguely remember, you know, him going in and out, because I, you know, my mom and dad were divorced when I was a kid.
I was
4 or 5 years old.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But I do remember he was a musician. My grandfather was also a musician. They never really did anything serious with it. It was more like the backyard thing. Like, my grandparents' house was the house to go to when everybody wanted to. Friday night came around, Saturday night came around. I mean, this is literally, this is what they do, man. They would literally, like, we had a huge backyard, and back there was all the little hanging lines where my grandmother would hang the clothes and stuff. Well, they had those like four or five trees, but right in between these trees, there was this big area where they'd have all the little porch chairs and stuff.
Right.
And that's where they'd all start drinking, whatever. And well, my grandfather would get the accordion out. Another guy would show up, and he had the bajo sexto, you know. And before you know it, they were just jamming, man, and it turned into a little dance.
Orale.
And it's funny because I remember that as a kid, and then I hear other people talking about it, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, man, it really is, you know, conjunto music is really is a way of life.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, man. You know? And everything that goes with it, the beer, the carnitas, you know.
Exactly, man.
The neighbors getting together.
Yeah, you know, and it's awesome, man, because I remember that, and... That's, I guess, you know, I didn't plan on being a musician, man. Right. I went through the same phase every little teenager goes through. You know, you get into what's in the pop, you know, the top 40
of course.
And music just kind of just fell into my lap, you know, and I picked up on it like it was nothing, you know, it was just natural, you know.
Right.
And just went from there. I mean, I played with plenty of road bands as a kid. I was on the road starting at 14 years old.
Wow.
I've been on there since, man, and I played with various artists, and it was kind of like one of those deals where I was like school on the road, you know, and the first band that I played with, my mom actually had to sign guardianship.
Oh, wow.
You know, because they were based out of Houston.
Okay.
And so she had to sign guardianship, and I ended up going to school in Houston and so on. It was just, it's been quite a journey, man.
Anyone we heard of?
Well, that band was Fama.
Oh.
And this was in the 90s, like... I started with them. I was like
14 years old.
90 wow. and 91. I played for 2 years. And after them, came home for a little bit, played with some bands from here, and then I took off on the road again with a band called Inocencia. And after that, it's kind of here and there. I played with Agustin for a little bit. Agustin Ramirez, which is from Austin.
Right?
Yeah.
Guti.
Yeah. Mm. And actually, it was an experience playing with him, man. I got to learn a lot. And but he's something else, man. You know, I was really young, and then when I was playing with him, I was playing accordion. And I remember one time we were playing in Waco at the Missions. And he was actually living in here in Waxahachie for a little bit.
I remember that.
And that's how we kind of ended up working together, because the people that were managing him, they knew who I was. They said, hey, we need your help. I was like, sure. You know, I'm always up to do some work or whatever and do some studio work. And so we were playing and whatnot. And he would ride with me around here, you know.
Right.
And so I remember we went to Waco, and anyways, we were playing, and it was really packed, and you know, even then, I mean, Guti, I mean, he'll always draw a crowd.
Yeah.
And when he comes up to Dallas area, you know, he's a legend, man, and he'll always draw a crowd. And it was funny because I remember we were playing, and then he would tell me, okay, échate una polquita, you know, and so I'd play the polquita, and I'd get up there and just jam, bro, you know. And and then at one point he came up to me, he goes, hey, yo soy la estrella aquí. And I said, okay, you know you're riding with me, right? Yeah, but it was a fun thing, man. I have a lot of respect for him, and like I said, I learned a lot from him, and it was funny because it's almost kind of like we ended up being little buddies, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even though he was way older than me, but
everything
around here, you know, most of the time he'd ride with me. If we went to the studio in Fort Worth, he rode with me.
Oh, really?
You know?
Okay.
So I got to spend quite a bit of time with him and learn a lot.
And when did you learn? And it wasn't necessary for you to just get paid $5 a night.
I already knew that. Fortunately, I knew that by then, bro. Yeah. I learned that at a very young age.
I hear that.
You know
man.
What I mean?
That, I hear that.
Fortunately, I was taught what I was worth, and I've always never been afraid to ask for it.
Great,
you know what I mean?
That's great. And you, Betty, family?
Yeah,
musicians.
Definitely. Been, well, preacher's daughter. Also,
oh,
so we were the choir,
the band ones.
The band. No, spreading rumors. No, honestly, it was my dad. He owns every instrument you name. He has a room that's specified for his instruments.
That is great.
He has a banjo. I don't know if he's learned it. He plays. He's picked up the accordion. He plays piano accordion. But since Mario, he's bought a button accordion. So he's trying to learn that. But he's, oh man. He's an entertainer. He does,
He goes like to retirement homes and does shows.
Oh, great, man.
Like, he does Elvis
God
Presley.
Bless him. That's great.
Yeah, he'll do the Elvis bit, and he'll go in there in the jumpsuit the whole night.
And he sings like Elvis.
Really?
Yeah. He sounds like Elvis.
That's great.
I always tell Betty, I said, you know, your dad, man, he could be a big money pot, man. You know, you sell them to one of these kid shows, you know, whatever.
Right.
I mean,
right,
they were
right.
Really, really. He just got that thing about him, man. He's just, he can
shy.
Do anything. Like I said, he'll go to retirement homes or he'll go to schools and do little puppet shows for the kids and stuff like that. I mean, he's just really good at it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
He's a, I mean, that's where, as far as for me, my dad was one of the ones that influenced music with us. It was something that we sung, and I never thought, you know, it was going to go any further than just singing in church or just singing with my sisters, and I did harmony. I was, we had the lead singer and then the harmony and then, you know, the set of voice and then bass, and it was five sisters.
Right.
So we sang in church and we were the entertainment and we would sing specials or whatever, and then just music alone, it's somebody, it just changes, it can change your life.
Oh,
it
yeah.
can heal your heart.
Oh,
it can,
definitely.
It can do so much to the soul, and music has always been a part of me. Just never thought I was going to do it professionally.
Right. Did you ever perform with any other bands?
No.
Okay.
No.
So this is your first one?
This is the first one.
And how many CDs do you guys got?
We have two CDs.
Two CDs?
Uh-huh.
And when did the band officially start? You know, finally started?
One of our first shows was, what, 2000. It was the 1999, because remember we were talking about the... Was there, I think it was, what is it called? The K? What was it?
Y2K?
Yeah.
Whenever the new millennium started?
Yeah, I remember we were
the computers were supposed to shut down and all that.
Yeah, and that was one of our first shows. It was in 2000, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We had been practicing before that and had a little show here and there. And it was funny because I was helping him get his band going because, you know, he was playing. I said, babe, why don't you just start your own band, you know?
Right.
So he started doing it, and
you know, I was always working for someone else.
Right, of course.
You know, and
as we all.
She said, you know, why don't you do your own thing? And my grandfather would always tell me, you know, my grandfather, he would always say, he had a funny way of talking because he had stroke and stuff like that. And he would say, tú, he goes, tú, you need your own band. And he'd say, Conjunto Barajas, or something with our last name on it.
Right.
And after he passed, unfortunately, I started after he passed.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
And, but she's really the one that kind of pushed me to do your own thing. You don't have to because every band that I've ever gone to, I've always been able to arrange and direct everything. You know what
right.
I mean? And so with my own group, it was going to be that much better because I would always, the biggest thing about being so young when you start in a band was nobody really cares what you got to say.
Right.
You
right.
know, and I remember it was one band I was playing with, and this is a band from here, and they would say, I would come up with ideas, and they would say, man, dude, that's too fama, you know, and it wasn't, it was just, that's the way they had shut me up, and
right.
and I remember I bought this CD to them of this band, and I said, look, guys, we need to kind of maybe go in this direction, you know, it would sound good, and I played it, and the CD was Intocable.
Right.
And they said, dude, that's not good, man. It's not going to go nowhere, dude. You know what I mean?
Wow.
and I looked at them. But then as I grew and matured, then I realized that they just weren't open to new ideas.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody's
right.
And you know what? They had every right to do what they want to do. It was their group, you know?
Right.
But anyways, my wife basically is the one that pushed me to do it. So I started getting musicians, trying out musicians. And, you know, everybody and anybody that I've ever known, they were just like, hey, you want to play? You want to play? You want to play? And they'd get together, and then the last 3 months, and then it was over. But the way we did it, I mean, we actually had tryouts, and I already had a good reputation as far as the following, you know, as who I was as an accordion player. So people were like, yeah, man, let's go. So we'd get, and finally we got all these people, but we would never, well.
A lot of them could sing.
Anybody who could do segunda.
Yeah.
And see, the first time I ever heard her sing, I was like, wow, you know, she's got an awesome voice, and I knew right away segunda was her thing.
Right.
And so I always had it in the back of my mind, like, you know, if I ever do anything, you know, I'm going to get her to sing, you know, after we're married, so on and so on.
Right.
And so we would try out people, and no one. So she thought, well, I'm just helping out until you find somebody.
Because they were practicing already.
Right.
Yeah.
So they needed the harmony, so I said, okay, well, I'll sit in.
You know, her mind, she was just waiting for somebody to come fill the pit. In my mind, it was like,
this is done.
This is gonna be it, you know? And it was, and it turned out to be that because I knew you know, passion for music she has. I mean, you can put any song on, bro. Especially, she's got a passion for country, old country music.
Oh, great. Right.
And
something that we're lacking. We're lacking old country.
Yeah, you know traditional country.
Traditional, that's right.
Because now, today's country is like, sometimes you can't tell if it's alternative rock or if it's...
Or 80s rock.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of hard to tell, you know?
Right, right.
But, when she does, like I said, that's what trips me out the most is she'll... we spend a lot of time on the road, right?
Right.
And we'll run to some old country station, man. She just knows all the words. And I think it has a lot to do with her dad, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the style of music he listened to and whatnot.
Right. Right.
And but she's, you know, she ended up, my plan was she was going to be in a band from day one. You know what I mean?
So,
yeah. I just didn't know.
and speaking of musicians and stuff, who's your lineup right now in Baraja de Oro? Who plays what? What's their names? Who plays what?
Well, we have a guy named Chris Rivera out of Itasca, Texas.
Uh-huh. A.K.A. Bam Bam.
A.K.A. Bam Bam. He's like, he literally is like the Tommy Lee of conjunto music, man.
Totally.
You know, and the thing about it is it's crazy because 2-3 years ago, we really weren't, you know, there really was no sign of us on YouTube.
Right.
You know, maybe two, three videos that some fans would put up. And then it started getting more and more videos that fans would put up. And I finally said, you know what, guys? We need to do like a YouTube raid, man. We actually got his wife to start recording us playing, and then we look at the videos and approve them and whatever. And Chris, when he plays, man, I mean, his sticks are flying in the air. I mean, it's not like a crazy thing, like what's he doing? No, you could tell that he knows what he's doing.
Right,
and if you ever seen Tommy Lee play for Motley Crue, this guy was a big fan of him.
Oh, okay.
So when he's playing, bro. He'll stand up, bro, and he's, you know, the whole nine and just, but it's all, we're still playing nice and tight and clean, you know what I mean?
Right.
And the compass is there. And he's just like, you get a chance, just look up the videos and you'll find a lot of videos of him playing.
Really?
Then, after his videos started kind of getting out there, that's when a lot of other people started,
of course.
Someone else started doing, and not that it was never done,
right.
But, you know, in our industry, and that's when you kind of start. People kind of trying to step up,
right?
And which is cool. Right, I appreciate that, man. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But then also we have Jonathan the Gooch Ramos on bass. He's been with us 7-8 years, right out of high school, man.
Yeah.
He was in high school.
Cool.
You know, and our newest addition to the band is actually a guy named Matt Sexton Falan from Waco, Texas, and he's an experienced musician. He's a bisexual player. And he's actually a student of Johnny Lee Rosas from Intocable.
Okay. Right.
So he kind of brings a lot to the table. He's been with us now over a year now. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically, before him, we had another guy, Johnny, who was with us from day one, man.
Right.
You know, the whole 12 years plus. And
Good musician.
He was there. We love the guy. He had some unfortunate stuff that happened to his family from the valley.
Right.
That he had to step in and help take care of the family.
Gotcha.
And it kind of put him out of commission as far as touring on the road.
Okay.
You know, right. And but like we love the guy, we miss him, but we also support him, you know, and like I said, it's been the original band, man, pretty much since day one.
So that was a rough loss for him.
Yeah, it was.
And you play, of course, the accordion and vocals.
Uh-huh.
And Betty, what do you play?
I don't play anything.
You don't play anything?
she plays the vocals.
She plays the crowd.
She plays a little bajo sexto, bro.
Oh, cool.
She's had to step in here once or twice.
That's awesome, Betty.
That's embarrassing. Does. I do 1 in 3. Don't say no more about this. No, it's something that I would love to learn.
Right.
I did try. I've been trying for 5 years.
That's great.
And I've learned 3 notes. My daughter, she decided that she wanted to learn to play keyboard, so within... I don't know, maybe 3 hours.
Cool.
She learned 4 or 5 songs. Now she plays the guitar, she plays drums, and she plays wahoo, and she plays whatever you name. So
wow.
It's a talent that God has given her. And my dad always said, I wonder which one of my kids is going to get it, because none of us really play instruments. None of us kids
do.
We play a little bit guitar or something. Maybe one of them. She plays anything.
That's great.
Anything, I kid you not. That's her dream. She's 14 going on 30. You know, with reminder.
Right.
You know, and it's something that I told her we're going to take our time with her because the industry can eat you up.
Oh, yes.
Eat you alive.
Oh, yes.
So it's something that I want her to kind of appreciate her childhood first. say, grow up slowly, mama. Grow up slowly.
Well, just remember while you're learning, if you never quit, you never fail. That's our saying. So
that's true. That's true.
So, all right, gente, we're here with Conjunto Baraja de Oro. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And you know how we do it. In our interviews, we play all of their music, past and present. So we'll be right back. Rancho Alegre Radio.
El por qué yo te hice mal. Vengo a pedirte perdón. Vengo contigo a ayudar.
We're back, Rancho Lero Radio, here with Baraja de Oro, Mario and Betty. And guys, how about life on the road, man? How have y'all adjusted to that? I know, Mario, you've got experience with it. It's probably easier for you, pero...
You know what? It's not any easier, bro.
No?
I started when I was a kid, and when you were a kid, you didn't pay attention to things. You didn't, brother. It was like slept, and you woke up, and you were there, and you know, played, and went to sleep, and you were back home, you know?
Right. And,
it's the, you know what, being on the road, that's part of the sacrifice. You know, I tell my guys, this is part of the musical journey that we've chosen.
Right.
You know, if you're going to make it anywhere, bro, if you're going to get anywhere in this business, you got to get on the road. You got to get some highway time, and that's just that's the bottom line, yeah. You know.
Right, right.
And we have, you know, the last couple of years especially, we've been up and down the states, man. We've been up north. We've been all the way to the east and west coast. It's been crazy.
Right, right.
You know, and we've had... lots of awesome memories too, man. Just the guys, we, you know, we're blessed, man. We have an awesome team. We got some good guys on our team. One thing that we always strive for, you know, is our band, the people that are with us, you know, good people, you know. We're a drug-free band.
And that's important. You know,
and we try to be role models is most important because we have lots of kids, man. That
right.
Those kids are the ones that are going to grow up and keep the music going, you know what I mean? And keep the legends being remembered and whatnot, you
right,
know what I
mean? Right, right.
And so we always try to be good role models. And it's like, you know, Betty was saying a while ago, you know, she's the type of person that we'll do a show. It's like you said earlier, you know, we're not really known in Austin area because we really haven't played in Austin
right.
As far as the
public, yeah.
You know, in the public events and stuff. We've done a lot of bolas and quinceañeras and stuff like that.
Right.
And I've always told my wife, that's kind of one area I want to tap into, is to be able to play in Austin. You know what? We did play at the South by Southwest.
Oh, great.
Thing, and that's
great.
Actually a pretty big thing.
Yes, it is.
We were the
yes,
only conjunto band to ever play there.
Yeah.
And our band, bro, we do everything. I play guitar, and we do metal. We do everything. So
cool.
When we were sitting there, we're like, in order to get this crowd's attention, we're going to have to play some metal. We're going to play something. So we played like Rage Against the Machine or something like that. You know what
awesome.
I mean? And dude, we had all the wheels up in the front. They were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we busted out the box, and it was a whole lot easier, man. They could relate to the accordion, to the beat. They already could relate with this. That door was already open.
Right.
You know, so I guess we did do that event. And that was pretty big deal. You know what I mean?
Right,
South
right.
by Southwest. But other than that, like I was saying, she's the type of artist that will play. And, you know, up here, West Texas, North Texas, here in Dallas, San Antonio, some of the valley areas, we have a lot of following, man. And so we'll play, and you know, Betty's the type of person, she'll get off stage, and she'll spend her whole break talking with the fans, you know what I mean?
Right.
And we'll do, and she's actually have taught us as a group how to be able to be one-on-one with the fans.
How to be social.
Yeah, you know. But still, to this day, we're going to do it as long as she does. She will stay there until it's time to go back on. She's
right.
Rushing outside to freshen up, come back in, and get going again.
Right,
know?
Right.
But that's also how she earned, like, the award that she won in 2011, Female Artist of the Year. You know, one thing about Baraja de Oro, we don't play the favoritism game. We don't do politics, bro.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We've always believed, and I've always believed, we want to earn what we win. We want to earn it, but... It's like you're not winning, bro, if you're calling all your friends and their families to vote for you.
Exactly.
Who is
exactly.
this?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just my friend. Don't worry about it. That's not how we do things. We've never done that.
Right.
It's like they told you, we've been nominated numerous times since 2007, but we didn't make a flyer and saying, hey, Baraja de Oro, you know, nominated for this. Vote for us.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. We just choose not to.
Yeah.
Right.
At our shows, we would tell people about, hey, we're nominated. Vote for your favorite group. You know, whoever else is on there, even if you don't nominate, you know, vote for us. Vote for your favorite
right.
favorite man. So
support them.
Show support, you know. And but Betty, you know, I'm honored to say that she won that award the right way.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Because we don't know any of the big names at the TTMAs and anybody. They know we're there every year working, doing the fanfare thing, making a round, selling our music, so on and so on. And she won that. Just because people voted, people who didn't know us voted for her.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Because we earned that respect from the stage. And to me, that's the way it needs to be always, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's why
oh,
people
yeah.
were getting mad. Oh, the same artists always win, blah, blah, blah. But you know, at the same time, yeah, they always do. But at the same time, everybody needs to step up their game.
Exactly.
This is entertainment business, man. People go buy tickets to a show. They go to a show because they want to see a show.
Right.
They want to be
right.
entertained. But most of all, they want to hear good music that they're fans of.
Exactly.
And that's okay. That's all. And that ends up well because when all that's done, you got to get back on the road to come back home.
That's cool. That's cool. We like where it goes. It's good. And we're back with a question with you. Life on the road.
Think about it. It's a van full of guys, and I'm the only female. So imagine what I hear.
Or what you smell.
I just stick patas. Oh my gosh. Yes. The guys know. Look, y'all have to bring some cologne, be bathed. But they are so, like what I said, our team is, I call them the elite team. It's an A team. I mean, it's awesome. These guys are very respectful, they make the road trip fun. They're comedians. They love music. You can hear the van coming for miles. You can hear the music blaring. You know, they've got it full blast. And, of course, I'm the one with my blanket because I'm always cold. They're always hot. And the only thing that bothers me that really, really affects me more than anything makes me this when I know I have to leave is when my children have to stay home.
Right.
You know, that just breaks my heart. You know, that's one thing. We went to Topeka. We played in
Kansas?
New Year's. Yeah, Topeka, Kansas.
Wow.
This New Year's. And our children went with us. So that was one of the best trips that I've had. You know, of course, they're grapping the whole way because they're like, okay, Mom, we're in there yet. I said, not yet, baby. They're like, okay. I said, remember, it was part of the deal. Y'all aren't going to be doing this.
Right.
Because if not, you know, they're like, we went to Chicago. And they went with us. And oh, my gosh. How long was that drive?
17
hours. Wow. So they weren't used to that. And, you know, usually if we fly, because when we do perform in Chicago, we've flown before. This time we drove, and then we came back the following weekend. We were in Milwaukee.
Michigan. Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah. We were in Michigan. So it was something like another long trip. But they're like, I said, y'all want to go? Nope. We're okay, Mom. We're staying. But being on the road, it's something that I think has created us to be able to bond even more.
Right.
We've got to know each other more because you've got those times where we talk about our families, we talk about the group, we talk about what we're going to do next, what's our goal, and then, of course, the Gooch will sleep most of the time. That's the bass player. He'll wake up and say, okay, we're there yet, you know? But other than that, it's an experience that I can say that I value and I appreciate the safety, you know, God taking care of us back and forth. Our fans, I'll put on there, we're going out of town, and we're praying for y'all, y'all let us know when y'all get back, and, you know, they take care of us.
Right.
And I always say this, and I'll say it again, we have the best fans ever.
Awesome. And what about promoters, man? You know, you got a lot of shady promoters, and we hear horror stories. You ever had a promoter run out the back door with the cash, you know, and didn't give you your fair share or what was promised?
Well, we've had, you know, somewhere in the United States, because I don't want to talk bad by anybody.
Right.
But yeah, we had that in the 12 years we've been in business. We had it happen to us once. And we showed up, and we always collect before we perform.
Right.
Especially when it's out of state, private events.
Oh, definitely.
We always collect before we perform. And the stage will be set up, ready to go. The minute we walk in, like Guti's famous saying, the minute my feet hit the ground, I want to get paid. And that's kind of how we do things. You know?
Right.
And we showed up in this far, far away place, 18, 19 hours away,
uh-huh,
for an event. And we were at the hotel. Well, it was right across the street from the club. And so we drove over there in the van. We were getting ready, and the people were really high. We had an awesome sound check. Promoter comes, all right, we need to go ahead and take care of business, and we get this show on the road. I don't have the money.
Wow.
You know, but I gave you $1,000 deposit, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they act like that's enough. That's half of it. And I said, no, that's a deposit.
Right.
That's so we can hold the date, and that's what gets us here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Expenses, yes.
And so
travel
on.
Travel and all that.
And
can y'all still play, and I'll mail it to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? As hard as it was, we went on stage. This is the kind of person Betty is as an artist. She says, guys, we were all sorry. I mean, we were all angry, dude. You know, but what can you do?
Right.
You know? And we went up on the stage, and we apologized publicly to the public. And Betty said some words. She said, I'm sorry. We want to perform for you guys really, really bad. I mean, it means everything. This is what we love to do.
Right.
But this promoter right here, she was on the stage with us. Or he, or
right.
It, on stage with us,
right.
Can't pay us. And we run a business here and we can't pay them if they play.
Right.
You know, and we apologized. People came up, bro, and it was like we had played and got off stage. They came, took pictures with us, bought music. They were sorry and so on and so on.
They were embarrassed.
A lot of people were embarrassed.
But I had to explain as to why. And people, the fans were, well, I'll say the fans. There was one person that got upset and said, well, y'all could at least performed. I said, well, how would you like to go to work and not get paid?
Right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I said, it's the moral of the situation that we were brought out here with an intention that was supposed to be good, professional, and we believed it. And however, when we were told this, I went into shock mode. I was like, I'm sorry. I did not come here with half a musician, half of the band.
Right.
We got here as we were as we told and promised.
Exactly.
So we expect pay. And we did take legal action. She was mailed a letter, and we never recuperated that money. And some of the people that were there, that were her family, were saying, well, they welcomed into your house and she fed you. And I was like, you know what? This is her business.
Right.
This is what she's prepared for. Is to if she's going to be doing this, if not, she's going to burn too many bridges.
That's right.
It's going to catch up.
That's right.
It's going to catch up. And we never said anything too much. I just apologized to everybody. We did have some fans that did get upset. And I can understand that. But they have to understand that if we let it happen once,
it's going to happen again.
Definitely.
My advice. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just something that I just don't. I don't expect any band to go through that. For us to travel 18 hours away from
right.
our family, and then responsible for these band members that left their families, that all went up there, and then not get paid. It really broke my heart to where I was crying in tears, because I said to myself, how are other people going to handle this when it happens to them? My concern was, it happened to us, we're going through it right now, but what if it happens to somebody else?
Right.
It's not fair. It's not fair. So at this point, we didn't get on Facebook and cuss them out and say all this. No, we spoke to her directly and I said, I will tell you this. I will not work with you again.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I will come and perform again, but you have to pay me in full before we even take off in the vehicle.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Mari says, why would we do that, Betty? I said, because the fans are number one.
Yeah.
The fans are first. If this promoter is going to be able to draw our fans to a location and get that venue, and we will go perform again, we should have to submit that money first.
Huh?
And that's just how that, unfortunately, that's how we'll have to work with her. And believe me, she's called us several times. She wants us back. People are high in demand. I said, it's fine. This is what we expect, and this is how much we need.
And we
haven't gone back since, but it's something that our fans are
paying the price on.
Where are y'all? Where are y'all? Yeah. We're like, one way or another, we're going to get back.
Right.
And we will. We will, God willing. God first. We will, because the love that we have for our fans and the love that they have for us, it drives us to keep going and to keep going. And there's many nights that I've come home and I've just cried because I've either heard something about a promoter doing something wrong or the Hano industry supposedly, it's still alive. It's still alive. It never died.
Right.
It never died. It succeeds through us. And like I told everybody, I said, I get up on stage and I said, guys, I'm tired of y'all here saying that the Hano's dead. The Hano slowed down. Everything slowed down. The economy hurt everybody. A lot of venues were closed down.
Right.
In 1 month, we had 3 venues that closed and called us and said, we can't have y'all. We're closing the doors. Can't
right.
And that was a record for us because we've never had anybody cancel on us.
Right.
And we've never canceled.
My point was to this is that if the Hano's in your heart, you are the one that keeps it alive. Why? Because it's in you.
Right.
You are the reason that the Hano's alive. It's not dead, guys.
Right.
It's one thing that people have been brainwashed so much that they don't understand and realize that, wow, it's not dead. It's still flourishing. It's still alive. It's never gonna die.
Right.
Our kids are gonna keep going. It's still gonna be around.
Right.
No matter what.
In some form,
in some form. So it never dies. For you to say it's dead, come on, guys. You're an artist.
Right.
It slowed down because maybe you're not playing as much. But guess what? It's still here. It's still here, and that's what matters.
And let me say this: me being in the Like I said, I was there when Tejano was in its prime, so to speak. That's what everybody says. When Tejano was blowing up. You know what? Tejano never died. Tejano got put in a chokehold.
Right.
Because Tejano music, Tejano Conjunto music, it's all the same. What happened was all these promoters that were out there, all these wrestlers that were out there, were not letting the new artists come in, give them a chance to be discovered.
Right.
They were, and no disrespect to all the big artists, David Lee. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I have much respect for their music because that's what I grew up listening to, man.
Right.
You know, the Ram, the Emilio, David Lee, you name it, Hometown Boys. That's what I grew up listening to. But the promoters or whoever was running the stations or their clubs, they were too busy making money that they weren't allowing the industry to grow. Top 40 music. Right now, we could name 30 artists that are on the radio.
Right.
You know what I mean?
New artists.
And they hear and they become millionaires. They get rich and they go. But, you know, you got the ones that stay.
Right,
you know,
right.
The MJs of the industry, so to speak.
Right,
and then you got the ones that come and go, you know, definitely. And but the thing is, they're consistently, the music is evolving.
Our industry, it like Mido says, the people that are in charge or in their positions, they do not allow other artists. Like one of my biggest honors that I've had in my career. Is not so much as winning the Tejano Music Award, which was huge for me, but that I was on the top three this past year for Female Vocalist of the Year with Shelly Lares, Stephanie Montiel, and Elena Avante.
Awesome. You were there with some heavyweights.
I mean, think about that. That was something that we were at the table, and there were things they call it. I told my husband, I looked at him, I said, I didn't win. He goes, don't say that. I said, he goes, don't say that. You don't know. I said, babe, just trust me on this. But you know what? I am still the happiest person in the world. And then they named Elida Reina as the winner. I was like, I'm so pleased to have lost to her. Right. Because I look up to her. She's, oh my gosh, she's phenomenal. And for me, just to be in that category, to me, was extremely, it's going to be something that I'll never forget.
So, you know? Correct me if I'm wrong here. Venues, their problem that I've noticed, and see if y'all agree, like they'll make a bunch of money with Jimmy Gonzalez or David Lee. Then they want to book them like every week, it seems like. You know, yeah. They don't, you know, like you said, they don't give the new bands.
Which is exactly what happened
with the chokehold, so to speak, right. So that's where we stay on that. Okay, let's go ahead and take another break. We're going to play some more music of Baraja de Oro. We'll be right back. Rancho Alegre Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, amigos, I hope you're enjoying this interview. Please tune in to part two of the interview of Conjunto Baraja de Oro. Hope you're finding it informative, and I hope you come check them out Friday, February 1st at the Rancho Alegre Conjunto Festival. We'll see you there. And please stay tuned for part two of the Conjunto Baraja de Oro interview.